What's up, everyone? I'm Frankly Frankie, and this is More Bad Handwriting. Welcome to season two. I hope you had the opportunity to listen to the season opener for season two, as well as all of the amazing episodes from season one. Now, on season two, we're going to continue to dive into conversations about love, life, and the reality that we live in. We're going to inspire and also continue to tap into those challenging conversations that will hopefully help someone to grow and be inspired to be the best person that they could possibly be. As always, our conversations are from real life people and their perspective. So I hope you enjoy this conversation about dating as we welcome the beautiful ladies from Something Social, Mo and Nay. If you would like to give feedback or have questions about any conversation or want to be a part of the dialogue, please run over to IG and inbox me. Again, this is Frankly Frankie, and that IG information is more_bad_handwriting on IG. All right, love, let's just dive into this conversation. Yes, jive, because it's going to get jiggy. So let's go ahead and join it and see what the ladies have to share on dating while dark skin. Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to More Bad Handwriting, an unscripted conversation with everyday people who have something to say. We're now in season two. I'm so grateful for season one. And today joining me are two beautiful ladies, Mo and A, who are the founders of Something Social. Now, I'll give you a little hint. Before I started this podcast, I was looking for an outlet to use, and my friend Nay told me about Anchor. And so that is how we're here on this platform. So I'm honored and excited to have this conversation with Mo and Nay today. Welcome, ladies.
Hey.
Hey. Welcome to More Bad Handwriting, finally.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yes. All right. So tell us a little bit about Something Social.
Well, Something Social, this is Mo, by the way.
Hey, Mo.
Something Social is, it's kind of like an event that we started hosting. It started off as an event, and then as the pandemic started happening in 2020, we kind of evolved into a podcast in addition to the events eventually, but that was when it kind of died down a little bit. We were able to kind of join outside and just be out in the elements, but still kind of gather. Mm-hmm. But it started off as events, just kind of curating conversations about relationships and life, mostly relationships, though. And we actually started it just because we had these same conversations, just me and Nay sitting in somebody's room, just talking. We said, you know, we should include men on this. And then eventually we started including other people into the conversation, and it turned into like a big to-do, turned into an event, basically.
And it started out basically with us talking to friends, also just about like dating experiences, and probably in like 2018, I think.
Yeah.
And we were finding that our friends, both men and women, were saying the same things. It's hard to date. It's hard to find like that special someone. So we figured, well, we need to talk to each other, started the live events, and
So we kind of, the idea behind it is just kind of bridging the communication gap between men and women. And I feel like every time I'm in an event, I feel like I walk away with something that I didn't, like a perspective maybe, or I just take something, a little nugget away from me, or sometimes more than one, that I didn't have before we all met up. And I think it's just a beautiful thing. We make connections. People are,
right,
you know, friends, you know, networking. They're, you know, just making different connections. One time, I think maybe a time or two, we had a little love connection. And so it's just a really cool event, and just getting to know other people and getting to know their perspective. So it's really nice.
Okay, and I've been to you guys' during the pandemic, or I'll call it the pasta salad because I don't like saying the pandemic. But during this situation, I've joined a couple of you guys' IG lives, and I came out to you guys' event for when we were out at, what was that place called? Oh my God.
Rhythm and Vine.
Yeah, Rhythm and Vine.
Rhythm and Vine. I don't even know if we're supposed to shout them out, but shout out to y'all. For y'all. Check them out if you're ever in South Florida. But I thought the event was both virtually and in person was a great opportunity for a conversation to be had that needs to be had. And that's one thing that I try to incorporate here too, is both perspectives, but I get more women that are more willing to talk about their perspective on dating and life and situations than men. So come on, fellas, open up. We want to hear what you guys say.
Well, it started that way for us as well. So right. Our very first two events, it was just predominantly women and like one or two men that were just trying to hold down the fort. But after that, I think we were outnumbered by our third event. We're outnumbered by men. And it's just been kind of even on both sides since then. And I'm so excited about that.
Even when we do our Instagram lives, because on the first Monday of the month, we're doing Money Mondays. And we talk about the same things basically with through Instagram. And I find that there's usually more men in the chat.
Yeah.
I
think once they kind of figure out that it's like a safe space, not necessarily that they're more vulnerable, but they're more open to sharing their experiences because they don't want the women to, you know, to, I guess, dominate the narrative.
Right.
And I guess they like to be there to make sure that they're saying, hey, we're experiencing these same things too. So it's pretty cool.
I like how you say it's a safe space, because a lot of times we as women feel vulnerable speaking in front of men, you know, not knowing what they're going to think about our perspective on dating. But I think they have an even tougher time, you know, using their voice to express how they're experiencing the dating world or their insecurities. Like, we wear ours on our sleeves a lot of the time. But I think men have been taught to be strong, especially African-American men. I can't really speak. Right. For any other culture, because I haven't dated any other culture, but homegirl is probably about to open that door. But
it's all the same, girl. It's all the same.
Hey, I was gonna get to that, Mo, because I know you date with your heart wide open. I'm about to open.
I sure do.
Just a little couple of cobwebs off of it, but hey, who am I to judge and block a blessing from God? Hey, God.
Oh, Lord.
Speaking of dating, today's topic, which, you know, on this show, I usually don't give a heads up on the conversation, but me and they were talking the other day, and we were actually talking about this topic. And so today we're going to be talking about dating while dark skinned. Now, that's not to offend or exclude, because what did you say you are?
Middle brown.
I kept saying medium brown.
Oh, is it middle brown?
Is it middle? I think it's middle brown.
I think that's middle brown.
But either way, y'all be excluding me. Cause...
here's the thing. I don't think anybody be like thinking one way or another about a brown skinned woman.
Well, that's exactly what I told her.
I don't think they have like preferences against or for it. I don't necessarily think it means that you're unseen though. I think they just don't, they're like, oh, okay, a normal, quote unquote normal person, but they see a light skinned woman and they think things about light skinned women, and they see a dark skinned woman and they think things about dark skinned women.
Right.
I think you're just like a neutral.
Yeah, I get brushed under the rug.
That's you get brushed under the rug.
Neutral brown. I like middle brown better.
Middle brown.
So me and my middle brown skin, I fall somewhere on the color line. I don't know where, but
more light than dark. I'm gonna throw that out there.
Whatever.
Well, I'm sure after hearing this conversation, a lot of people will check out, and I hope and pray that they do check out you guys' IG page. Can y'all plug that in before we get deep into the conversation? How people can listen to your podcast or join you on your IG. Can you give them the proper information to find you all?
Yes. So our IG is at Something Social, JC. The JC stands for James Curls. That's what we call ourselves. We do also have a page at the James Curls, but you know, our Something Social JC page is for our podcast and our events. So we do a lot more on that page. But we have our podcast up on all streaming platforms. We upload it through anchor.fm and it goes everywhere we need it to go. So y'all can check us out on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Play, you know, all those good places. Am I missing anything?
Nope. And if you go to our Instagram, the link in the bio has a link tree. So it has all of our everything, YouTube page, everything.
Yeah. We're also on YouTube. A lot of our, I'm going to say what last season and season before that, our video and audio. So you can catch us on YouTube as well. And on that link tree in our Instagram page, you can actually find some of the other things that we do outside of Something Social, blogs and, you know, extracurricular activities, crafts, so on and so forth.
And then y'all can tell me what color I am.
When
y'all
and go on that page and tell her what color she is. It's for nothing else.
Right. It listen, I'm you know me, I'll create a hashtag real quick. I'm like, okay, so y'all go in the crayon box after y'all see Nay and tag More Bad Handwriting and Something Social or the James Curls, and then Curls, so we can see what is she's middle brown, not medium.
I think she middle light. Middle, she high middle.
I need to do a poll.
She high middle.
Do a poll, Nay. Do a poll, and we'll see. We'll see what the world says. But all just aside, colorism is not, you know, something that we should laugh at. But you know, this is also a playoff of a conversation we had last year on loving the skin you in. And I did talk to both a light skinned individual, beautiful girl, my home girl, Mel, and then I spoke with the ladies over at Truly Rooted, about dark skin, being dark skin and loving the skin you're in. So coming back to the conversation that we're going to have today about dating while dark skin or middle brown. So lately I've been seeing a lot of videos on YouTube and hearing podcasts or blogs about, you know, African-American women being the least respected, or supported or protected, or choice for dating. And then, you know, I don't want to put our brother out there, but there was a post that was posted and then taken down where this individual, I don't want to say his name because I feel bad, y'all can, changed his male co-actors on the show that he's on to females, and was basically saying how many shots it would take for him to approach them. Now, I've seen people have different point of views on what was being said there, but it hit kind of close. If I could say for myself, when I first saw it and thinking about, you know, his partner, which his partner is his choice, but thinking from a Black woman's perspective, being rated once again, you know, it did kind of tug at something in me, like, wow, like, can we get a break?
his partner is white, right? He's with the white woman.
White or Hispanic, but I think white.
Non-Black, okay.
Non-Black individual. Yes.
And yeah, I saw that.
What did you say, Nate? You said you felt it?
No, I did see it, but you know what's crazy? I didn't even, I honestly didn't pay attention to the color. There was like no shots versus like two or three shots. I honestly didn't even pay attention to the color of their skin.
Oh, wow. You know what? I did notice that, and I thought the same exact thing, actually.
So I wonder if it's because I'm middle brown that I didn't even pay attention to, like...
Maybe, because I was dang, the light-skinned girl wasn't even cute. And he said it would only be one shot, but the dark-skinned guy, just because he extra chocolatey, the one dark-skinned guy...
He had two shots and 1.5.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I know what you're talking about now.
I honestly did not pay attention to like the color of their skin. I was just looking at who the person was.
Back after that, so I didn't know. I was like, "They ain't gonna drag him for this." Oh, okay.
Oh, honey, he was dragged on.
I was about to say, I thought people.
Yeah, I didn't
something.
Know they dragged him.
Yeah. And then speaking to my cousin about it, I was like, girl, like that kind of hit. Like, woo. And she was like, well, he's staying shot. So maybe your skin color or the skin color intimidates him. So he has to like get liquid courage. I was like, okay, say less.
I don't think that's it. I think he just does not view it as beautiful.
Well, and he's dark skin.
Well,
he's brown.
Oh god.
Middle brown.
He said, well,
he's low middle.
So he's the color
high
of me.
Middle. No, no, no. You're high middle.
Oh my god.
There's gradients in the
whole ombre. The ombre of brown.
there's levels to this, Meg. Come on.
Yeah. I don't see we also talked about this before too. We had a whole conversation about black men and dating black women. And that was probably one of our most listened to podcasts, but we,
we
had a whole conversation about it because I'm gonna be honest, it does bother me. It does bother me, like to see, which is surprising that I didn't even really pay attention to that, but just to see that, you know, I just don't like to see black men with other people.
Yeah, I don't, cause I'm single. I don't mind it. It's when you put African-American women down, like those men that have their podcasts coming out of Miami, and they were making like darky conversations and you know, and I'll share that, like I would stay the person on we were talking about the shots, but it's just like it, you know, I'm still gonna honor a black man, and that was something that someone else said, we always are loyal and protective of black men, but it leaves us wide open as black
men. Me, I'll say it. you leave me out to dry, it's fair game at that point.
Yeah, but a lot of times
there's been times where I still protected a black man and he didn't need to be protected at
a lot I'll say I've done that a lot yeah. But I won't say their names because you get no airtime with me,
right?
It's the disrespect, and then me looked him one of the cast members up. And you know, you're like, you are a man of color, but you ain't even like, so
they never are.
A whole nother different level of disrespect. But I say date who you date, but don't put down, even for men of different races who date outside of their races, don't put down the women who are a part of the race that created you, you know, because it's kind of like slapping your own self in the face or exposing your own insecurities because you're saying things like, I don't like darkies.
Yeah. And I think that's what it is for me too. Just like, not necessarily that they're dating out of the race, because I mean that does bother me. Yeah. But people that like specifically date out of the race. Like,
yeah,
I don't want a black woman.
For me, it's twofold. It's that, you know, that part, because I do believe you like who you like. Obviously, I've dated outside my race before, so I'm not one to be like, you can only date your kind, you know. I feel like that theology is a little antiquated, and I don't think that applies for everyone. So, I mean, I don't necessarily mind the fact that people are dating outside of their race in general, but when you, A, put people down, especially of your own race, that's problematic. I don't like when they fetishize other races. You know
something we're gonna talk about, honey. Yes.
Yeah, because I think that's a part of it. I think, you know, while they're putting down their own people, they're also uplifting the other races as a whole by fetishizing them and kind of making it like putting them on this pedestal. And that's where I have a problem, because I'm like, okay, you just want you a little Latina, you just want you a white girl for the sake of having a white girl. It has nothing to do with the fact that you fell in love with this person.
Right. Fall in love with the person. And
exactly.
Not
that's different. It.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. And it's crazy, because going back to what I said in the beginning, I'm going to start being more open to dating outside of my race. I won't say I've ever been close to it, but men of different cultures do not approach me, like, at all. Like, at
really?
All.
I get it either.
Like, oh, you're cute. But when I was in college, the kids from the PWI, because you know I went to HBCU, hey, go to Agricultural and Mechanical University. the kids from the other school, in which I attend that school now, they would buy me drinks and tell me how beautiful I am, but never like, can I take you out on a date or anything like that. I've only been approached by African-American males, or men of mixed culture being African-American and something else. But yeah, so I'm not close to it. I guess I don't put myself in a place to be attracting. So Mo, what you say? How we do that?
I don't know. Honestly, I think part of why, well, first of all, I actually saw this, somebody had posted this on Instagram, just like a post that said on their stories that said, just FYI, I get more non-Black men on my online dating profile matching with me or trying to match with me than I do Black men. And I was like, me too. I get a lot. I mean, not that I check it, because I used to do online dating. I haven't done it in years now, but I did it for several years and I get a lot. Every now and then, if I get bored, I'll scroll through and just see what's popping. But I get a lot of non-Black people in my inboxes.
I don't.
And it's funny though, because why?
But then I think that's when you and I had the conversation about the fetishizing, mm-hmm. because you're dark skinned. Yeah. So I feel like men from other cultures, when they want a Black woman, they don't look at the middle brown. They're either going to want the light skinned woman or they're going to want the dark skinned woman.
But mostly the dark skinned woman, I think, because that really solidifies the Blackness that they're looking for.
the Black of the berry.
Yeah.
The Black
of the berry. And they want to, just like when we went to Mexico mm-hmm. and the Mexican man was like, can I take a picture of you?
Yeah, they
And I'm like, of me? And do what with it?
Okay, where you putting this in?
Where you putting this in?
They did. They sure did.
I had my fro out. I had the cheeks out. I was in a bathing suit and everything. So I guess, and you know, the Black part of my behind was visible. So I guess they were like, what's happening here? Let me, and I was tan.
But that's what I was thinking, like that men because I really don't get approached by men of other races that much, and maybe that's why I don't date outside of my race, because they ain't looking up here. Yeah,
right.
But I really think that there is, and it may not be that they fetishize, but I think they just naturally gravitate towards somebody that is darker skin,
yeah,
or somebody that is light skin.
I don't even see the light skin as much. Usually when I see an interracial couple with the Black woman and the white man, it's a Black woman. Mm-hmm. It's a like Black,
really dark skin lady.
Yeah.
So are they choosing the dark skin women or are dark skin women choosing them? What's going on?
Well, I don't know. My thing is, I actually am attracted to other races as well as Black men. So I think like you don't date outside of your race because you're just also not attracted to people outside of your race. You're just not attracted to them. Mm-hmm. I'm attracted to anybody I'm attracted to, and it makes zero sense, honestly. I mean, they could be tall, short, big, little, mm-hmm. you know, ugly, cute, whatever I'm attracted to is just what I'm attracted to. I know I'm doing better though. I'm working.
No, I'm just saying, you called the man ugly.
I mean, I'm doing better ugly sometimes, and that's all right.
It's something that was cute about him, or he had a great spirit.
Yeah,
that his spirit was you nice. Or lured you in.
His spirit was nice until it wasn't. And then I was like, but now you ain't got nothing.
Now you're real ugly.
So,
oh, Lord.
Now you got absolutely nothing going for you. But yeah, I'm just generally, I used to think, though, that it was because I have more of like a prim and proper kind of tone in my voice. I thought it was, you know, because I was more quote unquote white than they, or quote unquote white than other people, that's probably why I did more with it. But I don't think that's it, because people are matching with me on online places and they've never heard my voice ever unless they found my podcast.
Like, but you're a beautiful girl, period. Period. Right.
Aww, thanks.
It's not I don't think that people should just, you know, look at fetishizing. I'm gonna go ahead and say it, because I can't even say look at color, because you could, people, oh, she got pretty feet. I've heard people date people for some of the silliest things. It's just, but how she treats you, how he treats you. Like, I like dating older men because, or I like dating younger men because.
Right.
But what quality of a person is it? Are they a beautiful person on the inside? Right. Something else has to be present.
Right.
Like, I don't know if you guys saw that new reel or meme that they have going where the voice says, "I don't want this one, God. Take it back. I don't want this." I have had those moments where it's just like, ooh, uh-uh.
Yeah,
your insides is not cute. I don't want this. No.
He's like, "Lord, send me a man, but not this one right here. Send me another one."
He got.
It's funny because now that I think about it, I don't know if I realized this before now, actually. So this might be exclusive. I used to really be attracted to light-skinned men almost exclusively, and I think that that was a form of like light skin or lighter. So it was like, oh yeah, I dated a white guy before, but I'm looking at black men and I'm like, that yellow one right there though, that's the one. And I think I was like in some sort of like not even a self-loathing kind of thing, but I think because I was so insecure growing up about my skin, that it influenced who I was attracted to, because I think I subconsciously to some degree didn't feel like my black or anyone who was like my black was as beautiful. I didn't deem it as beautiful. So,
and I still know people, I know men like that now.
Yeah. Right.
Even though they like men. Black women, they like the lighter, fair. Like, I get on one of my friends all the time because I'm like, you have a type. If I look at all of your exes and line them up, they all look alike. Got the long curly hair,
and you
they
know,
don't look. It's like, what are they? You're wondering, like, are you black? Are you like, where are you from?
Racially all, ambiguous.
Yeah, they're like, they can go either way. They could be Hispanic. Like, you never know. But he he definitely has a type, and he is dark skin. And I'm like, dude, have you ever dated a dark skin
at a type? But at the same time, I think there's like a really fine line between a type and a fetish.
No, I don't think it's a fetish. I think it's a type, but I think he also doesn't date dark-skinned women.
Right.
And it could just be that he's not attracted to them. I'm not sure, but why are you not attracted to dark-skinned women?
He just ain't, I guess. I don't know. Because the same thing can, or I don't know. Let me phrase this as a question. Can the same thing be said about, like, dating outside your race? You know what I mean? Like, you just have a type, but... like, why are you not attracted to other races? You know what I mean? If a person is beautiful, a person's beautiful, if their spirit is nice, if they have a good personality, you know, can that, where's the lines, I guess, with that?
Well, my reason for not wanting to date outside of my race goes deeper than just.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Look, like, I've seen attractive, there are attractive people of other races, of course.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's just, not my preference. There are. I mean, I've seen some. There definitely are attractive people of other races, but it's
so
not...
it's only applicable if it's your own race that you're not, someone of your own race that you're not attracted to.
Well, specifically black women, just because we are, like she said in the beginning.
Yeah,
maybe it's how we look at ourselves,
at
or yeah, we're like the bottom.
No,
of
it's how everybody choice. Looks at us.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, it can't be white men dating white women with blonde hair, blue eyes only, because the other white women are still winning. It's like we are the ones that people are looking at, like
overly
issue.
It's black women and Asian
they don't know
men.
That they strike gold when they date a black woman. They just don't even realize.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so amazing that you said black women and Asian men, because it's some hot Asian men.
I have a friend that likes Asian men.
You have a hot Asian friend. Also.
He is hot. I'm like, when did you turn into a little model?
Hello.
Where he at? No.
I'll send you his Instagram.
He is cute.
But, he cute. La, la, la.
I'm giggling. He's very handsome. He was my high school husband. We had to do a project.
No, maybe he your real husband and you just shut that door. You need to crack that door and see what's popping. But you know what? When we think, when we go back to the middle brown and not being middle brown, I, in a lot of cases, my friends who are darker than me, I always think I'm the same color as them. And they're like, no, you're not dark skin. And I'm like, well, what am I? But I know I'm not the same complexion as they. But I feel like you guys, like, I'm in the overlooked kind of, but I ain't in the, you know, a fetishized section.
So what I would consider you is brown skin.
Hey.
I think Nay is light brown.
Light brown.
And so I always consider myself brown skin.
I see a brown skin person and I think of like, I think of like cinnamon or cocoa, something. Yeah. Yeah. Something along those lines. I think Nay is more like a peanut butter. Hey, you know what I mean?
Man.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
You're in the section, but I'm just... Oh no. But I don't know. She's cute, but yeah.
No, it's funny because I don't know a lot of people like Nay's color. So I think your skin is actually pretty unique, Nay.
Mm-hmm. Nay, I was telling Nay she has the same complexion as my mom. And my mom doesn't think that she is light skinned either. And I don't think my mom is light skinned. My sister is light skinned. Light. Yeah. But and my brother is that middle peak peanut butter brown. So a lot of my complexes come from them being lighter than me.
Mm-hmm.
So I too did struggle with being a darker skinned girl, which I talked about on the previous episode about loving the skin you're in. I love my skin now. Y'all can't tell me nothing.
Can't tell nothing. Shoot.
But I do share that same struggle as a child growing up, where my former stepdad used to call me Blackie. And so that thing used to do something to me. And I don't like when people call people red bone. I didn't. Now I'm like, okay, you got to get over it, friend.
But the crazy thing about that is it's given like it's an insult.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not.
I know. It's like, thank you.
I mean, I'm so glad. Like, I can remember, I don't remember what year it was, but I can remember like exactly when like dark skin was like people started realizing how beautiful dark skin was, and it was recent.
And
it
they
was
had very to go recent. Out of their way like... to uplift the dark skin people, like they're going out of their way, rightfully so, because boy, they had to dig me out of because
they
dark
know when they were younger.
Childhood.
Yeah, when you were younger, y'all, you was going through the, you know,
and it wasn't even it wasn't even just getting it from like Black people. I was getting it from, I was growing up in a white neighborhood.
I think that also created the
that
complex.
Created two. I had two different complexes.
We hope you're enjoying the conversation with Mo and Nay from Something Social. Now, if you'd like to join that conversation, we'd love to hear from you, especially from the male's point of view. Or if you would like to be on an episode of More Bad Handwriting for a different topic, feel free to inbox me on IG at more_bad_handwriting. Now let's jump back into the conversation with Mo and Nay, dating while dark skin.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I could see that playing hard. Wow.
Yeah, because if I was Nay color and I'm growing up in a white neighborhood, I feel like I wouldn't have felt as
I was still Black now.
You still Black, still but I personally felt like I stuck out like a sore thumb. I felt so displaced. I felt so judged. I felt like I was watched all the time. And then for me to grow up and be as articulate as I am and be as nerdy as I am and like just things about my personality and about the way I present myself is still a problem for and it's Black people now that's the issue, but that's still a problem.
I think that those complexes that we have, we think that okay, my Black brother or my African-American brother, male man, should understand the struggle of what we went through and how people talk about our skin color and accept us and love on us and not put us down. Because honestly, a lot of times the pushback I get is from an African American man, either saying dark or I'm too big. But then my fetishize is my weight. I get a lot of men approaching me because I'm a plus size girl or woman. Hey, she's 41. Just in case. But they approach me and like, oh my God, you're such a beautiful plus size girl or big girl. And it's just like, you know, I got other qualities, right? Right. Like, I'm a good person inside.
Right.
But I think those complexes that we had, we expect them to know our struggle. When sometimes they struggle so loud, they ain't paying no attention to us. And it could be the brother in the house with you who got his own complexes with his own skin color or, race or things that have happened. And I know for me, I had to realize that my expectation for you loving me is higher than it probably should be. What y'all think about
that? Yeah, because I feel like, Black men are taught to, well, have been taught, like, historically, to hate themselves, to not love who they are. And I think it, generationally just passes down. And I think that's part of the reason that some of them date outside of their race.
Exactly. Which is why that bothers my soul.
You know, I need a lighter woman because that will make a better life for my kids.
Also, I don't even think it's exclusive to lighter, not lighter women, but like just outside the race. It only makes me upset when it's white women specifically. And sometimes Latina. But if I see a black man with an Asian woman, I'm like, oh, okay, got a little Asian woman,
But why, Mom? Why does it bother you that they're dating a white or Hispanic or Latino ex woman?
I feel like the Latin part of it is the fetish. I feel, or is part of their fetish. When they find a Latin woman, they think that that's just, they're the a lot of the people that I've talked to, I should say, who date Latin women kind of think that they are just at the top of, what is beautiful and what is attractive. Mm-hmm. I think a white woman in some cases can be a status symbol or in some cases can be rooted in self-hate. Mm-hmm. I do believe that. And there are some black men, obviously, that are with their, white significant other who are genuinely in love. I don't think it's applicable across the board.
Right.
But in a lot of cases, the black and white relationship goes, like how Nay said, it goes deeper than just, this is who I'm attracted to. It goes back to I feel like this is right. If white is right.
And it's crazy because when she was talking about the black and white relationship, it is so like we're in Florida. Were you born and raised here, Fran?
I was born partially raised.
Okay. So we know Florida culture, which is everything.
Yeah, all things.
We have a melting pot of people. And I think that also comes with a little bit more grace and a little bit more like understanding and tolerance of each other. Mm-hmm. But I know people from other states that are like, it's a lot going on down here. Like where I'm from is black and white.
Yeah.
And where I'm from, we stay with black people and the white people stay with the white people. Like, and I mean, of course, there's mixtures and everything because it's, it's 2022. It's not like we're,
right
back in the day. But for the most part, I think, I can't even generalize like that, but I'm just saying the person that I met, I know somebody that was from, he was from Maryland, and he was just like, we have black neighborhoods and we have white neighborhoods.
That's the other place that I was raised.
Oh, DMZ. Okay.
So yes, it's Africans, it's Asians, it's black and white. That's what what I grew up knowing. Which shockingly coming down here, like being exposed to more cultures, and we also, of course, Latinos in DC too. But it was separate, like it wasn't seen in the 80s. We're talking about the 80s. I can't speak for 2022.
Right.
But coming down here and meeting people of different cultures, like more of an array of cultures was just like, yeah, but it was more culture in the DMV than it is here. We're so not culturalized in South Florida.
Yeah.
I know.
Cultures, it's sad, but that's another story.
All the cultures and no culture. I know.
Right. My friend that I'm thinking of with the Latin conversation, he was in, he was raised in Ohio, and it was the same thing, black and white, and that's pretty much it. And he came down here for school, and he thought that he just hit the jackpot. And he was like, yeah, I got me a Latin woman. Because that's what you do when you move to Miami. You get you a nice Latin woman and you settle down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? I mean, he didn't say that's that. But, like, so many words.
Right.
He also went as far as saying, like, well, you know, he said something along the lines of, I don't know. It was something against, kind of like low key against black women. And I was like, I don't understand why. Oh, because we talk back, I guess, or something like that. And I was like, I don't understand why it's a problem that we talk back, or that we are opinionated, or that we don't just let you just run over us any kind of way. But it's not a problem when Latin women do it, because they do. They are not quiet. And he's like, oh, that's different.
I see Latin women as women of color and some of the same African background. Like, we're loud.
Exactly.
We're boisterous. We're
they think it's cute. That's the difference. They're like, oh, but Latin women, you know, they just, you know, they get crazy. They might stab you or something, but ha ha ha. And I'm like, okay, but when black women stab you, it's unbecoming. So, like, I'm just trying to understand, why is it you drew the line with black women, but you are so tolerant with Latin women who share a lot of the same characteristics. So that's where my fetishized, you know, hatred comes from.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you just kind of, you're not making sense. You're just, if you don't want to be black, just say that. Like,
but it just bothers me. And it honestly, it makes me sad, like, to think about that some people feel that way, that, like, they can't date their own race, or they can't, or they don't like their own race because of certain things, or maybe even the way they grew up or whatever, or what they think the future holds for their children.
To they the have point to look where they a certain way. They don't even think that they are beautiful. That's not beautiful in my eyes. My type is just not that.
And I see it, you know, in school, Fran, like, working in a school, it's like, some of the little girls, they'll come in with their hoodies on because they wore Afro today. And I'm like, girl, your hair defies gravity. Take it out.
But you can't do this. I got a trick under here. Poof, look at that.
I know.
Trick.
But it's so hard to, like, empower them, because they are so, I don't know from where, maybe home or their neighborhood or maybe school, maybe the other kids. I don't know. Just like so beat down that they just.
That little girl in that video, she saw herself in the video. Her mama or whoever that was like retwisting her dreads. She had to be what, like 5?
I remember that video.
And she looked at herself, she said, I'm so ugly.
Yeah.
And her mom's like, what the, why would you say that? She just thinks she's ugly, and don't nobody know. I'm sure her mama ain't sat there and be like, what you look ugly, Ted? Like, she ain't saying that.
Somebody said it.
Somebody said it, and it
could be vicarious, because think about how we grew up. We didn't have, like, all of the accesses to, we were basically blinded to all of the sexual stuff and dating. These kids are wide open exposed. Yep. They know more about stuff that, like, that whole bing bong thing. A child had to tell me. And
that's sexual? I didn't even know that was sexual.
No, it wasn't. It does say something sexual in the video.
Oh,
but but they were saying, yeah, it's indirect. It's a, like, innuendo. But as an adult, I know what they meant. But no, I'm not gonna point it out, because a child might get a hold to this, and it's like, I'm conscious,
we'll
like
about that one.
Right. So, but no, but their exposure and access to be exposed is so wide open. We didn't have that. We didn't have access to see people talking about them being depressed, like, or, you know, them talking about suicide or sex or not liking the skin they're in or not being beautiful, or hearing people, you know, it's too much exposure. And even sometimes the same conversation that we're having, their mothers being put down by their fathers of being a too loud, a too ghetto black woman or Latino woman or whatever they're saying, because it's not just our kids of color, of dark or African nature, that are being put, going through the same struggles. I'm also curious to see how women who date African American men who are outside of our race feel about the whole thing as well, because they have their struggles too, and you can see it in little white and Hispanic girls and boys mm-hmm. in today's society, like from all ages, from little children to teenagers to college age,
yeah.
that are super, super, super harsh on themselves.
Yep.
Like out loud. Like I was harsh on mm-hmm. myself because of outside, you know, people in my family or school or whatever were saying these things, and it hurt.
Yeah.
Not me seeing these things and saying, going in the mirror and saying, oh, I'm that too, and I'm less of value. You know, I'm glad I never saw that video, because that broke my heart to know that this little girl.
Oh my God. Every time I see that video, I literally weep. I'm like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Like, I can, and the bad thing about it is I could relate to her. I used to mm-hmm. look at myself and be like, I don't look like nobody in my class. I'm the only Black person, let alone dark skin, only Black person in some of my classes. My hair don't do none of the stuff they hair doing. My, you know.
And you best believe, even with everything that they see and hear and all of the, you know, however popular it is to be Black now, they're still doing it. The little girls are still in school.
They still feel
and it's less than, it's I'm Black sure. girls mm-hmm. against other Black girls, mm-hmm. you know, talking about each other. And then it's the little girls that were in a situation like you were, like at an all white school. They're the only ones that look different.
I would literally be like, why do I look like this? I don't want to look like this. Mm-hmm. I stick out like a sore thumb. I feel displaced. I don't want to look like this no more.
Well, but what brung you to the turnaround of accepting that you are a beautiful girl, a beautiful woman, a beautiful human being, and accepting it? What brought you to that place?
Well, first of all, thank you. you know, honestly, I don't know. Some kind of way, and I'll be completely transparent. This wasn't a transformation that happened when I was young. This was recent. This was like when I turned 30, honestly, a lot in my life shifted.
I'm going to say I noticed it probably when it became popular.
When it became popular.
Skin. And that's why I was saying it was mm-hmm. recent. It was not that long ago.
Yep. Around mm-hmm. when I turned 30. Like 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
It was within the last 10 years for sure. Mm-hmm. But like when the natural hair movement started and the, you know, popular. And I think also because of, you know, that's one good thing about social media, that you do see mm-hmm. a lot of yourself represented on social media in positive ways.
Yeah.
Like you can see the dark skinned women and, you know, embracing their skin and loving who they are. So I think that kind of helped. Mm-hmm. The natural hair movement helped because, you know,
I definitely was not confident when I went natural. I went natural in 2009 and I was like, this is adding to my insecurity and my anxiety. This is terrible. I felt so ugly. I was like, oh my God, I felt like a little girl. But because my hair, and then I look at Nay and Nay has this like Puerto Rican wavy.
No, I do not.
Compared to my hair, your hair is like on a different grade.
But listen, meanwhile, I'm like, my hair's so thin and you have thick hair. Like, it's just what you don't have.
It's what you don't have. But hers is so much more manageable, and like her curls were always just effortlessly so much more like beautiful. And I was just like, man, I can't even use the same product she's using. This stuff don't work in my hair. So that, in addition to all the other things, and then of course I was going through like dysfunctional relationships, which mm-hmm. broke me down a different level. Like I had to completely rebirth myself at some point. And that was around the time when I realized, like, and I was overcoming anxiety. I just had a lot going on at the same exact time. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that was my pivotal year, was when I was turning 30. And I don't know why. I just, in my 30s,
so woke up.
Like, I woke up. I really did.
And I was like, she started living unapologetically. She started writing her blog.
Yeah. My blog was like 2017, around then.
Yep.
Girl, so, I was not 30 yet 2017, honey. I was, amen. I'm like, okay. Yeah. I know you're younger than me, but I was well into 30 and 2017.
Yeah, that I think that was when I started loving myself a little bit more, when I think it was a lot had to do with social media and the acceptance of dark-skinned women, and I felt like men also appreciated a dark-skinned woman differently around that time. I don't think I felt like I did as a child in my 20s. You know, my 20s, I mean, when I was a child, I felt like ugly. I just felt straight up. I was like, this is not the move. In my 20s, I was like, I'm not bad, but like, I would go places with my light-skinned friend and watch her get attention, and I just stand in the corner and wait for her to finish swatting the guys away. And I'm like, you ready? Can we go now? She wasn't even that cute. And she wasn't even that cute. And I was just, I mean, she was cute, but she just, she had the big breasts, and she kind of presented herself a little differently also, which is something that I didn't fully take into consideration until I did some self-reflection. but I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that she was lighter skinned. She just always, and if we gonna find some good looking guys, she gonna get the best looking one in the bunch, and I'm gonna get the friend who's probably just entertaining me at this point,
keeping busy.
Like, yeah, it's just like, let me talk to you while he finished that up, but I really also don't want you still. I'll just go by myself and not go away with your number.
Not go away with your number.
Yeah.
It's so crazy because it's parallel to what I felt dating as a plus size girl. I would go places and be the cup holder. That's what I used to call myself. Like, while my fitter, slimmer friends were like getting all the attention, it used to do something to me. But then it was this big girl energy that just popped up in me and was just like, and you look, now I'm being like, Nate, you
ugly. Like, I love it here, so adjust. Right.
Yeah.
And it was around 30 that I went through this vortex pool of come out of this, girl, snap out of this. You are, and sometimes I still have to get in front of that mirror and say, girl, every curve. She cute, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, it makes sense because in your 20s, you kind of still trying to find your way. Like, I look at all these posts about, like, what would you tell your younger self? And, like, a lot of people will say, like, you know, love yourself now. Like, don't wait until later to find out who you really are. Because I think, you know, in those years, you are still kind of trying to navigate your way through life. You're like, what do I like? What do I want to be? Like, how am I going to make money? Like, everything is, like, confusing in your 20s. So
in your 20s.
30 might be the year that people just be like, all right, I'm here.
Listen, my 30 so far, I really love it here. This is,
I'm
about to leave my is A1. Well, the 40s might be even better.
Hey, I was about to say something 40 did something else.
I mean, you grow into yourself in the 30s and the 40s, you just get the little free.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. It's a level of okay that just like, all right then. All right, you over there by yourself on that one. I'm saying it jokingly, but it shows you, and I don't know if it's because I turned 40 in a panorama. or a pasta salad, but it's just the level of that does not matter. Life is so much more than your negative thought or feeling about me. That's yours.
Right.
You feel it. I don't. Amen. Now, do things get to me still? Sometimes, yes. But I've learned to be more vocal about it if it's like really pressing on my heart, or throw it in the trash. I'll be mad today, and then tomorrow it's like, okay, that happened yesterday.
And you know what? I think that's exactly it, not caring so much about what other people think, because yourself, your insecurities come a lot from what you think, how people will perceive you.
Yeah.
And when you hit that age where you're like, I don't really care what y'all think no more.
That's exactly it's when, like, I transformed.
Yeah. It's like, I don't care what y'all think no more. So this is what it is. This is me.
Very much.
You start accepting everything about yourself because you don't care what other people think.
Yeah,
exactly. That hit the nail on the head, actually, because I was living apologetically. I was very apologetic for most of my life so far.
Me too, Mo. Don't feel bad.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm still going back and forth.
I'm in this room with you. I don't even like what I. I'm,
yeah.
You know, don't look over here. Actually, you know, And I, for a while, I was like that. But when I became unapologetic was when I really was like, actually, I think I am beautiful. And I think I got a bomb personality. Mm-hmm. And I think I want to share that with whoever feels like paying attention to it. Mm-hmm. And share my life experiences, maybe inspire somebody. That's how my blog came about. And I just was like, whatever. And people gravitated to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, well, wait till you get to 40. You're going to be like, oh, but don't look, close your eyes. That you, that's the whole,
there it is.
That's the attitude you go like,
dark skinned women don't like you either. Goodbye.
I'm no longer breaking myself into small digestible pieces or something. You can choke.
Yeah, you can choke. You can choke. If I'm
where too much,
go find less. That one too. If I'm too much, go find less.
Hey, but yeah, we have to get to, because another thing, both all of us are successful women. Successful women of color, and that's something else that needs to be explored in dating.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna like draw that back in and invite you guys to that conversation. Okay. Talking about being successful, well-educated women, and if we know anybody of any other culture or gender who would like to join the conversation, please chime in. Let me know. Inbox me on IG, More Bad Handwriting, FM_MoreBadHandwriting. I think that's still the IG, child. I posted. I know I changed it, and I'll get into that later, but I had to put an underscore in there somewhere. But frankly, on IG, of course, on this channel and this station on Spotify, More Bad Handwriting, Unscripted Conversations. And my girls here who will be joining me in that conversation, we'll talk about being more successful in the dating pool, meaning successful financially and still single. So do please join us. I am so grateful for you all joining me in this conversation today on Dating While Dark Skin. And I think we need to have a little more of a stretch on this conversation too, because I think there's still some things that we need to work out. But I would love to have a male's perspective or a woman of non-African American descent opinion who dates nothing but African American men. So
I know several. So
tell me, come on. Look, call them right now. No.
I know several. That's
three-way.
Right? Put them on three-way. But once again, before we go, can you guys give us your contact information, how we can follow you, how we can listen to you, and how we can support you?
Yes, you can follow us at Something Social JC on Instagram, The James Curls on Instagram. And I think that's enough. On those pages, you'll find our other pages.
Yeah. I know. I'm gonna keep digging.
Right. All right. Thank you, ladies. And anything you want to share before we go to your younger self, your younger middle brown self, and your younger yummy chocolate self, that was the younger girl with the insecurities that we had?
I don't know. I would just...
Did you have insecurities, Nay?
Yeah, she did, Mo.
Of course. She was so caught up in her own. She didn't know what was going on. We all have insecurities, of course. I still have insecurities. That's a whole nother podcast. But
I guess I was implying like around your skin and stuff.
Not necessarily. I did also go to a white school, so yes, but not from Black people, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't feel like I wasn't insecure. Like, I didn't get, like, any hate or anything from Black people.
Okay.
But I went to a white school. So, yes.
And a lot of them was family. But carry on.
It wasn't hate. It was love jokes.
It was love jokes.
We could go deep on that.
That's another thing before we go. I think it was really done out of love. I don't think that... I mean, the conversation has changed now. Because now it's not... You're so Black. It's like, you're so beautiful. Like, your skin is beautiful.
Exactly.
From the same people. But I don't think it was done out of I don't think it was done maliciously.
I don't think family. It was either, but at it that does age, damage. Yeah, it was very damaging at that age.
Yeah. To my younger self, I would just say, I don't know, don't sweat the small stuff.
Hello.
And it's all small stuff. That's what I think.
Ooh, I
don't sweat
that.
The small stuff. One, everything is small stuff.
That's a good one, Nate, with the serenade in the back by Mo.
I know, right?
No, because I found out Adele had sang that song to her younger self, and I hadn't even registered that. And now I'd like to re-listen.
You done learned me something else, Mo.
What happened?
I said, you done learned me something else.
I know.
I did not know that.
I saw that on a TikTok. Somebody was like, it was a TikTok of this girl just like weeping. Like, I just realized this was Adele's song to her younger self. And I was like, did everybody else know this but me?
Her new album is like that too. She has a letter to her son.
Now I want to listen. I want to listen specifically to Hello and From the Other Side. Yeah. I have to listen to it now and think about like self-reflect.
Reading, saying the lyrics in my head right now.
Yeah,
me too. Looking at the flame in the candle now. But what would you say to yourself?
I'm not even sure. I would probably... God, I wish I found this version of myself when I was younger so that I could have enjoyed so much more of my life. Mm-hmm. I probably would tell myself that this is a temporary feeling and that you, regardless of how you're perceived by whoever, including yourself, that you're still a beautiful person. You still have so much to offer the world. And even outside of, like, there's so much more beyond your skin. There's so much more beyond your appearance. Mm-hmm. There's so much more to you, so many layers to you that are irrelevant to the appearance that's been kind of tormenting you for your entire childhood. And that, you know, at some point you're going to be living so free and so unapologetically that every good thing that is coming from a good place is going to gravitate to you.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that light at the end of that tunnel at that age or at that point.
You'll realize that none of that stuff that you're worried about in your younger years matters.
Yeah,
the older you get.
It's all small stuff. I'm going to go with what Nay said.
Girl, you can marry to her what she said, but what you said was powerful. No, I think, and I think in that, wrapping this up and what you just said, I think that's what we want the people that we date, especially African-American men, to see is that it's more than just my skin. Mm-hmm. That's just one layer. There's so much greatness below, but we have to first understand that for ourselves and accept ourselves and love ourselves, and then not even sweat the small stuff and go ahead and go out that door with them too and leave our heart open. They gonna go talk to her Asian husband. But leave our hearts open to the person that is for us. And it might not be an African-American man. Nay, I can feel you.
I'm Carrie Hilson on this. And as much as I've dated outside of my race, I really hope that my husband, if he exists, is a Black man. And not just a Black man, but a chocolatey brown man.
Little brown and dark.
No, I want me a, because I want some Black babies so I could just love on them. Like,
wow. That is a awesome way to look at that, to love on them. And it just, well, here I am taking your piece, child. Give me this chocolate cake. But no, to love on them the way you want it to be loved.
Yeah, exactly. That right there is my dream for my life. Now, if that's going to happen, I don't know. And I'm okay if it doesn't. But at the same time, that would be my ideal outcome.
Yeah. I mean, I love me an African American. It's something they do something to the soul. Yeah. But
yeah, they do.
I'm telling y'all, I'm cracking it. It's a little crack in the dough that says, hey, if you like me, I'm your type. What's up?
Listen, it's a culture shock, so get ready.
I'm sure, because I'm loud and I'm opinionated.
I've had to sit down. I had somebody from a different culture who wasn't from here. I had to sit him down and be like, do you know what it means to date a Black woman? Like, what have you heard about me? What have you heard
and
about
that's,
me?
And that's what I don't have time for. So that is why I kind of avoid it. Because I'm like, I want to be with somebody that can understand. Because
he doesn't get it.
Roots, history, why, you know.
There's no advocacy there.
Right. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You need to be able to advocate for me.
Right.
And because you don't know, you can't really do that.
And the same thing with the other way around. If a white woman is dating a black man, she needs to be able to advocate for him. And I know a few of those women who do that. But I know a few who kind of shy away from it when
it's real. Something you can learn. It's something you can learn. It's something you can figure out how to do.
But I know about some people that are just like, ooh, they get trapped when it gets really real. And I'm like, no. This is the reality of dating a black person.
So that's what I'll say. If you can advocate for me in some sort of way and you are willing to learn and understand my culture, then maybe.
Because you can have a culture shock with somebody that's not like, I'm dating a Haitian man right now, and we just are missing the mark with the culture thing. So it's like, it's not even exclusive to just black people.
Right.
It's any culture that's not, you know, your own, you have to kind of figure out.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't understand or know or feel African American culture the way that I do. Mm-hmm. So his advocacy looks a little different.
Right.
That sounds like we need to have a part two.
Yeah, I think so.
For sure.
I think so.
I think that's what we'll do. So join us on the next episode where we'll revisit part two.
Hey, well, I hope you enjoyed part one of Dating While Dark Skin featuring Moenae from Something Social, and that you'll tune in to part two to hear where the conversation goes. Thanks again for tuning in to More Bad Handwriting, and we'll see you soon. Take care.